God has shown me over the years so many things along this line of sowing and reaping. But years ago, I was with Pastor Nancy in a Midwest meeting, and she was traveling from church to church. She ministered a lot on financial blessings. And I tell you what, really, her ministry after several days, and she told a lot of the same stories, but I need to hear it over and over and over again, because faith comes by hearing, and not having heard, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And she would tell the story of how her mom bought her house, and she didn't want to spend so much money on it, and Pastor Nancy over the phone said, "Mom, I authorize you to spend as much as you want on that home. You have it, so you can spend it." She just had a hard time, you know, spending that much, and she didn't want to pay what they had. "Mom, you can do it." You know, and she was just encouraging. But many things. I'm not going to preach all her sermons over again. But one of the pastors in those meetings asked me to do the offering one night. And the Lord said to me, "Do what the occasion requires. Do what the occasion requires." And so what does that mean? Well, it just means when there's an offering, we encourage people to give. Yeah. You know, don't hold back. Just put something in. Just do something and speak over that offering. Amen. Whether it's a dollar, whether it's 100, whether it's 2, what is precious to you? I know that we continue to put our amount up, and I'm pretty generally one that carries the checkbook. So I'm the one that increases the increments. But it's something that I don't want to stay the same place. I want to continue to grow and step out and really step out until I sweat a little bit. You understand what I mean there? Yeah, just don't make it easy. Thank you for all that excitement. I appreciate it. 1 Samuel 10, you can just write this down. 1 Samuel 10, 6, 7. 1 Samuel 10, 6, 7 says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." So who was he talking about there? Yeah, that was King Saul. "You will be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you." What was the occasion? Giving an offering? No, the occasion was the Spirit of God's going to come on you and you're going to prophesy. What I'm saying is, he was saying, do what the occasion requires, like the Lord said to me. The occasion there was to prophesy, to step out in the anointing. Amen. Philippians 4:10 says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." What does the word opportunity mean? Well, let's go down here, and it really means a season, an opportune time. So it's not merely a succession of minutes, it's a period of opportunity. And there are different times in our lives. See, when I was talking about do what the occasion requires, that lady on the street that had the sign up there, I was just checking my heart, because people will take advantage of you. And frankly, I went down the road at the gas station. I saw another man go up to her and look like he was kind of speaking mean to her. So there's no telling what situation she was in. I think that's kind of their corner, you know, to collect money or whatever. And he was in the store, and then he was there, and then I think there was another man down the street. Well, they're probably taking advantage of. Nobody took advantage of me. The Holy Spirit dealt with me. How to do this. And if he would have dealt with me to give money like the man before me, I would have done it. But he just dealt with me. "Ask her if she's had anything to eat." "No, I haven't." And, you know, it was about 4:15, so it wasn't quite dinner time yet. But, you know, and that's why, do what the occasion, you know. She didn't need a slap on the, praise the Lord, the Lord loves you. You know, let me pray for you. Well, if the Lord would have dealt with me, but how many knows that that wasn't really what she needed at the time? Yes, prayer's good. But she would receive my prayer a whole lot better if her tummy is fed. Yeah. I kind of went down the street, and I'm like, Lord, yeah, I didn't have an opportunity necessarily. I mean, we're in traffic, you understand? I couldn't really, you know, pray and prophesy over her, okay? But anyway, moving right along. I'm just trying to be funny. Y'all wake up, okay? So some of you are looking at me like... Let me read some. Maybe you'll like this. Let me read some. I had written this down back when the Lord told me, do what the occasion requires. So as we give at every opportunity, then we will reap at every opportunity. God did not only bring us to opportunities to sow. He doesn't only bring us to opportunities to sow seed, but he brings us to opportunities to reap or prosper from that seed sown. What is our part? To give at every occasion that arises. To give at every occasion that arises. If you want the blessings to continually coming in, then we give at every occasion or every opportune time that God is leading us. And we don't give with strings attached. You understand? I never tell some. If I give somebody jewelry or something like that, oh, I would never give that away. Well, it's not mine. I didn't give it with strings attached. You understand? Whatever, that's between them and the Lord, what they do with it. But to give at every occasion that arises, especially to our pastor, the local church, and ministers that help to feed us and teach us the flow of the Spirit, and then to use our faith to call in the harvest. Now, you may not have liked that part about the pastors and the ministers and so on and so forth, but I make sure my pastor is taken care of.
Amen.
I gave Pastor Jay 2 checks. I put them in his hand, and I said, be sure and give Pastor Nancy an offering.
Yeah.
You know, he said, yes, ma'am. Anyway, no, he didn't say that. He said, okay. And, you know, because I'm the one that generally takes care of the checkbook and that type of thing. So, but years ago we started this, and the Lord dealt with me. Every opportunity I have that I see doctor and pastor, I will give them an offering. Every opportunity that I have. And that's just, and there have been some times that it was pretty lean. I didn't have a whole lot, but I just gave them what I had. And they were always blessed by that. So am I saying that for you to come and give me money? No, I'm not. I'm just saying, again, we learned that when we sow into the anointing, God blessed us. And that's why I'm able to give to people on the streets and in the Walmart. And see, but it's not just Pastor Nancy, although I prioritize that, to be honest with you. But these other things, I'm constantly searching my heart and saying, Lord, is this another opportunity? Is this another opportunity? If we live this life selfish and never have really given away our lives to others in some area, then what is our life? Then we just go to our paneled houses, or, you know, we're just us four and no more. Well, what fun is in that? Yeah. So we want to be a blessing to other people. And we're just teaching you. We're just teaching you that if you want the blessing on your life, then make sure that you prioritize God's house. But then there are other opportunities, and there are other people that are in need. And if you have a need, what do? Sow a seed. Amen. Thank you for listening to that. So we're going to talk a little bit. Pastor Jay ministered on the words of your mouth on Sunday a.m., Pastor Hernandez. And I want you to go to Matthew 12, and we'll start with verse 33, Matthew 12, 33. And I know we don't have a lot of time here. I took extra time on just ministering the word along the lines of sowing a seed, but that was all good, and I won't take it back.
Amen.
I saw some of your eyes like, yeah, isn't it? It's wonderful when it just gets fun.
Yeah.
It just gets fun. Again, I can't take care of everybody's needs. Now, when we're young, we have to learn that mom and dad, you know, we can't always go to mom, dad, and have Bella's out every time. All of us been there, done that. Even when we were in our younger days of ministry, there are times, you have any money? We need to get to this, you know, and we're going to preach the word. Okay. But, and all those times that my mom and dad, and I tell my mom this, because I make sure that I pay the bill when we go out. And I generally pay for the whole family, but moving right along. And have I always had it? No, I haven't. But I'm not going to ask my mom to pay when she's the one that paid for my diapers. She's probably watching. You know, she's the one that paid for my clothes. She's the one that did all this. And I've told her, Mom, you're the one that gave me life. You know, you're the one that raised me. You're the one, you know, it's the life of God, you understand? But she paved my way, her and my dad. And I want to be a blessing to them. And I'm not going, you know, we were talking about it. When she sells her house, she'll get a certain amount. And I'm just going to tell off on her. She said, you know, I can probably give a certain amount, you know, toward this. No. You put that in the bank. And if you want to come stay with us a while, or if whatever you want to do, amen, you don't have to. Amen. You don't have to spend a dime.
That's right.
We're not going to ask you for a dime. You put your money in the bank.
Yeah.
I don't care how much it is. I told her, Mom, if you have it in your heart to give something, we're not going to refuse that. But it's you know, as you're led by the Lord, because I'm not going to stop you from getting a blessing. You understand that? But we're not asking for your money. So if you ever want to come stay with us or with any of us children, it's not about your money.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
So I don't ask her how much is in the bank when I offer to pay lunch. I just do it.
Yeah.
I don't, it doesn't matter. She raised me, and it wouldn't matter if there was $50,000 or if there was $5.
Right.
She raised me, and I'm going to be honorable, because they helped us in some hard spots when we were earlier in the ministry. Remember, Dad Hagen talked about, you know, he couldn't even rub two nickels together, and all of his tires were bald, and he was out teaching on prosperity.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how many know that we're learning?
Yeah.
I was just listening to Charles Capps actually today, and he was talking about how we speak faith. It really, like Pastor Jay says, it's a confession of meditation. We start out, it's a confession of meditation. And then it becomes a confession of faith when it becomes part of you. And that's what Charles Capps was talking about. And I thought, you know, there's a message along that line. I need to get that back out, because I actually have taught along that line. It's been a while, and I haven't said it that way for a while. But it has to become a part of you. It gets inside of your spirit.
Yes.
You've got to say it. So don't be discouraged if you're not seeing fruit in your ministry, in your lives, in your family, maybe your job. Don't be discouraged. Just start getting in the Word and then speaking it, because when you speak it, it gets inside of you and it becomes part of you.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Debbie, I've done so many things wrong. Well, condemnation never helped anybody. We just have to repent. We just have to say, I'm sorry, Lord. Well, I'm going to do it again later. Well, that's because that's what you believe. That's what you've been saying. Start saying, He who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it.
Amen.
He who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it.
Amen.
He works in me to desire and to do of His good will and pleasure. And start confessing these things. And maybe you've been an angry person. Maybe you're, you know, in your past life, you flew off the handle a lot. And sometimes, and you know, we've all done that. The other day, I realized I got upset at Pastor Jay over something really silly. Then I had to text him and apologize. Well, we all, you know, you got to suck it up, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's just easier not to yield to that thing. Then you don't have to repent. But... And, you know, you little emojis, heart emojis, and, you know, this and that. I love you. Blow them a kiss over the emoji. Yeah. So anyway, are you there in Matthew 12:33? So I'm not sure what I started out, but being honorable and planting seed is something that. You know, what I was talking about was my mom, dad bailed us out, but they gave us everything we needed. throughout our life. And maybe your parents didn't give that to you. But you know what? Just the fact that they're your parent?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, you know, there was somebody that came to me on staff years ago, and I'm not saying who or when or where or anything like that. I'm not trying to give anybody's business out because no one else's business. But a parent contacted them that they hadn't seen for years. And that parent wanted them to come because they were dealing with some symptoms and wanted them to stay with them, you know, for about a month or 2 months. And I told the staff, I said, you know what? I'm going to say this. First of all, I'm your pastor. No, Pastor Jay and I are your pastors. Somebody that hasn't been involved with your life for years and they're expecting you to quit your job, and it's all about me. And they said basically that's what it was like, you know, growing up too. And I said, you're going to have to make a choice. What is the leading of the Spirit? What is the leading of the Spirit? And I'm going to say something to you. We're not going to let you have 2 months off. If I had it in my heart, I'd do it. But I'm not going to empower you to fail by going and spending your time with somebody that's probably taking advantage of you. Even if they're your parent, you can love them and you can honor them in other ways. And you can ask the Lord what you can do. So I'm just saying, it's your decision. And whatever decision you make, you know you're still part of this church and this and that. But, you know, we would have to hire somebody else to fill in for that. And you understand that we've had employees off for a couple months because, you know, for situations that was beyond their control. We just worked it out. God blessed us. You know? So there's wisdom involved in these things, isn't there? And not allowing people to take advantage. So, but we are to be honorable in ways, especially that God is showing us through His Word, to be honorable. And there are people that don't have our benefit in mind. But we walk in love with them, but we ask God how to do it with wisdom. Yes. Amen? Amen? All right, so Matthew 12:33, we're going to get there about 8 o'clock. All right. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers. Now he's talking, you know, probably to the Pharisees and Sadducees. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or I like what Pastor Jay says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks. So you know about somebody when they start talking. Eventually, you're going to get to know really what's the truth in their heart if you're around them, because they may try to cover it up for a while, but after a while, the truth's going to come out. Yeah. They're going to slip, and they're going to show you the truth, right? Yeah. So somebody that is more transparent, you know, you hear that from politicians. We're going to be totally transparent. Then they get in there, and they don't do anything that they say. Right. It's just one lie after the next. Yeah. Not everybody, but we've all seen that too much, haven't we? Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Notice that, out of the good treasure. There is a treasure inside of you. So it says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, things that benefit. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now let's read that in a couple other translations, all right? Maybe the amplified there. Either make the tree sound, healthy and good, and its fruit sound, healthy and good, or make the tree rotten, diseased and bad, and its fruit rotten, diseased and bad, for the tree is known and recognized and judged by its fruit. So what comes out of a man is known as fruit, or out of the treasure of their heart is going to reveal whether the things in their heart are going to be beneficial for the kingdom of God, or are going to hinder it. Keep that in mind. All right. Now, in verse 34 of the Amplified, you offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil or when you're wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things. I like that. Flings.
Yeah.
What are you flinging with your words? I'll tell off on myself here in a minute when we read this. And the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. So when we are meditating on the things of this world or on things that aren't beneficial to the kingdom, it's going to get inside of us and it's going to fill up the storehouse of our heart. And there's not going to be much room for things of the Word and the Spirit and that benefits God and His people. Right? Okay, let's keep reading. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle or inoperative, non-working word they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. Now, I will say, but I tell you on the day of, back there in 36, but I tell you on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle or inoperative or non-working. But let me say this. When we believe our words, whether they're out of an evil treasure or whether they're out of a good treasure, they're operating. They're working. They're bringing forth. They're flinging some things out there. If you believe something, that's why, well, it's just a little white light. No. The more you say it, the bigger that fish is going to get. And the more difficult it's going to get to back up and make the changes. Now, we don't have to wait until January 1st for New Year's resolutions. I know I start getting to the end of the year and God starts dealing with me, get on top of this. Don't wait till January 1st. But the Lord started dealing with me. I'll put it this way, how I wrote it out. The Spirit within has been bearing witness with my heart to guard my heart more and to test my words more before I speak to see if they line up with God's word and the witness of the Spirit. If they line up right, then peace will be the result, not condemnation or anxiety. So, and I wrote a few things. I'll just read this out. The whole reason to have it, well, let me see. In verse 37, let's go back to Matthew 7:15 through 20 there. Verse 37, it says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So let's think of it this way. You're in a trial. You're in a courtroom. You're on the stand, and you're on trial. And what is the purpose? To get the truth. So you've got a lawyer, you got the prosecution, and you got the lawyer that's helping you. But that prosecution, they want the truth. Yeah. Now, our court system is that they will try to frame you just so that they can win a case, which is pretty bad, but that's our system, right?
Yeah.
So your lawyer has to be good enough, whether you did it or not, somehow to make the jury think that you didn't. But how many know that we're not in that kind of a court system? See, God sees what's in our heart. And you can try to cover it up. And you can even get other people to try to cover you. Or maybe, what's that word? Bamboozle them or whatever. Bamboozle? I'm not sure. Maybe you can be sly and people think you're one way and you're really another, but usually the pastor knows. Usually, and it's not because God woke me up in the middle of the night and I'm seeing you in the living room, okay? Necessarily. Now, I'm not saying that has never happened because we have had supernatural experiences, but I'm just saying that we know by the Spirit if your heart is not right.
Yeah.
Now, the Lord will deal with me, give that person time to work on these things. They just need to grow up. And you just love people. You understand they're at all different levels. But a pastor is giving you the truth. And you can get the word inside of you, or you can choose not to get the word inside of you. But if you come up and talk to me and say and act one way, I'm going to ask you questions to get the truth. Okay? And that's what the Holy Ghost is saying to us. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that's what he's going to reap. You understand? We were talking about that. So let's try not to bamboozle God. Let's try not to bamboozle your pastor. Let's try not to cover up around. I'm really endeavoring to work. Now, there's some things just not people's business. All right. I don't need to know everything you're working on. It is none of my business or everybody else's. But if it has to do with the church, if it has to do, if we ask you to do something and you haven't been honorable in an area that's going to affect the reputation of the church, then you need to come clean with that. You know, we have certain things on applications. Have you had addictions and this and that? Just come clean on it and just let us know. Because we're not the great judge,
right.
But we're going to make sure that that's something that you don't need to grow more in.
Right.
We're not trying to keep you from prospering in that type of thing. But if the Lord deals with us, well, you know, just be honest. Just be open. And many people, they've just been honest, open. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got a piece.
Yeah.
Pastor Jason, yeah, I got a piece. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we're fine. You're forgiven. Praise the Lord. But then sometimes others, it's like, well, you need to work on that a little bit. You need to work on that. Let's maybe not put you in this area. Let's put you in this area because we need to grow a little bit. You know. Well, that was all free. Okay. So, this is one of those kind of shotgun sermons, you understand. Speaking our faith in God's word will ignite a force that creates healing velocity and propels the God kind of life to any area of need in our bodies. But we've got to believe it first. Speaking our faith in God's word will ignite. In other words, there's something that goes on when you believe truly what God's word says and you get it in your heart and you start saying it. But before that ignition happens, you're going to have that confession of meditation and be saying it and be saying it and be saying it. You know, every time that I minister, I thank God that I'm an effective minister.
Amen.
I said that today. I don't know how many times I said it on the way. Thank you, Lord. I am an effective minister. Why? So that I can look good? No, because I want you to be blessed.
Amen.
And of course, I don't want to get up here and look stupid. You understand? But at the same time, I want the church to be blessed.
Amen.
And it's so easy when you're preaching the word to let the word work in the people.
Yeah.
So that we just keep it simple, don't we?
Amen.
Yeah. So if we want things to happen in our life, if we want abundance to come, if we want God's word to blow up in our lives, so to speak, and fling things out of the good treasure of our heart, we're going to have to put things in our heart. And we know that we can put good things or we can put evil things in there. And it all comes through the words that we speak. Because once you start believing what you say, that's what's going to come forth.
Yeah.
Now let's go very quickly to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Now I saw a couple yawns out there. It's like, well, I've heard this before. What fruit do I want out of this sermon? If you think about what you're saying, in order to be a blessing to the kingdom of God and to your fellow man, then I've done my job.
Amen.
If you're just thinking about, okay, I can do better at that. You see, when the Lord dealt with me, you need to start testing your words. You know, I shared a little bit. I can get frustrated. especially when somebody turns the news on. And it's all about the same thing. And it's all, you know, and sometimes I want to throw bricks at the TV. But it's not, the TV didn't do anything. And really, the men and women that are spouting a lot of lies on the mainstream media, they're usually getting directions from somebody else. But they're still yielding to that stuff. They're still giving it out there. And but the Lord has dealt with me. Be careful not to come across frustrated and angry around your relatives. Because there are times it's like, oh, come on. You did what? You gave a five-year-old a fax? What? 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 You did what? There, you know, just like I said, the text on my phone. Now, it doesn't mean that sometimes we get kind of shocked at what's going on out there. But at the same time, the Lord's dealing with me. Watch your demeanor. Watch it. And don't try to teach and train everybody around you. And don't try to bring everybody to your conviction of heart. And don't make anybody feel bad because they got the vaccine or they. You see, I don't want to do that. There are certain things that I've learned that I'm very alarmed about. Things that we're hearing all over the world and symptoms and this and that and the other that's very alarming. And I have some very strong views of what's going on that's evil. And it's an agenda, you understand? And then what people may, you go to the store and you know, they just let up all the mask mandates and half the people in the store have masks on. They're driving off in the car with them. And I'm like, but the Lord has dealt with me, be careful about your demeanor. Be careful. And so with that, I am praying more for wisdom. And I'm asking the Lord, you know, rather than giving somebody, okay, this is what I believe. This is what the family should do. This is what, you know, and they don't really care. I'm just saying, most family don't really care. They don't care what church you go to. They don't care what ministry you have. They're, you know, they're used to making their own decisions. You understand? So the Lord has dealt with me. Start praying for them. Well, that's a novel idea. Start praying that they have wisdom and light. And pray this way. This is another one. Father, anything you need to show me, help me see. Because it may be possible that I'm not always right. Maybe. You think? Well, we're talking about the words of our mouth. And we've all just got back from Thanksgiving and we've had conversations, I'm sure, many of you, that we didn't want to have. Or they turned on the news and it was all about the same thing. And we're like, oh my goodness, can you turn that thing off? You know, but we have to be careful how we come across. Because frankly, some family, the more pressure you put on them, the more they're going to turn that on right when you're there. Just to show you who's in control of their house. All right. John 15:1. That was all free. If they ask me, it's because they trust me. If they want to know my opinion, it's because they trust me. And they're not going to trust me if I'm pushing off everything. And there are some things that I haven't quite understood all the truth of it. So I've given it to God and said, Lord, I want to keep my family alive. I want to keep my church alive. I want to keep others alive. But I'm not everybody's big kahuna telling them what they should do and what they shouldn't do. So I'm asking you for wisdom on if we need to address anything as pastors. But otherwise, we're teaching people to be led by the Spirit. We're teaching people you're going to have what you say. If the Holy Ghost deals with you to get some type of a procedure or vaccine or something like that, and you've got a piece, You don't have anxiety? Okay, then. That's what we're preaching and teaching. Follow peace. And don't just do, well, you know, frankly, Pastor Debbie, I did it because my family pressured me. Okay, that may not work out for you forever. I'm just saying. If every decision you make is because a family member is pressuring you to do it, that may not always work out. But if you learn to be led by the Spirit of God, and it doesn't mean you have to go tell everybody and their mother what you're doing. I mean, you go in the, I don't know why it's about this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. You go in the stores, even here in Iowa, you go in these stores and they say, if you have not been vaccinated, you have to wear a mask. I'm like, okay. First of all, did you know it's a law that I don't have to wear a mask in Iowa?
Come on.
Just saying. Second of all, did you know it's against, what is the Nuremberg Code or whatever, that I don't have to tell anybody squat. Amen. How about you? When's the last time you got a colonoscopy? I want to see your card. Okay? Got diabetes? I want to know about it.
Come on.
You have AIDS?
Come on.
Cough it up.
Yeah.
I want to know. Okay. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. That was funny, wasn't it? Okay. Sorry, I was trying to keep a straight face, but you know. I read that someplace, you know, about, you can borrow that if you want, you know, about the colonoscopy. You know, I want to see your card. Okay. Anyway. Was that having anything to do with anything? Exactly. It doesn't. But I don't need to say all my business, and it's nobody's business, right? Okay. I am the for one person from Africa that got the Omnimora vaccine. Yeah, you know, variant. Okay, moving right along. I am the true vine. And my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, bring forth or fling out fruit. Remember?
Yes.
He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That it may bear more fruit, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So we know that we bear fruit. How? By the spoken word. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, and you bear much fruit. So we start out, and you'll be my disciples. Now we start out with no fruit, then we start out with fruit, and then more fruit, and then much fruit. So there's a progression there. And as we start speaking God's word, let's go to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. As we start speaking, actually it's 2 Corinthians 4. We'll go to that one. As we start speaking God's word and just meditating on it, what do you desire to change in your life? Start saying it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm free from addictions. I'm effective at my job. I'm skilled at my job. You know, you have to back it up with some action. It says 2 Corinthians 4:13, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke, we also believe, and therefore speak. But it starts out with, we don't, it's not a part of us. Yeah. It wasn't maybe something that we grew up with. We didn't always, you know, we talked about flu season, yeah. and we talked about, hey, I love you to death. And, yeah. you know, we just, our words, things. I don't stop people unless they've been in the church for 10 years, you know, with the Holy Ghost policeman siren. Don't say that. I don't do that.
No.
Because they're going to get it in the service. The word of God is going to minister to them, and they're going to see that we got to stop talking evil. Now, that word evil just means even deceptive things or things that are not true. But things that are good is what benefits us. It brings salvation. What is salvation? Well, I know we're already saved, but I'm talking about it rescues us. It brings the manifestation of things into our life of healing and wholeness. But it's going to take time to get it inside of you and make it a part of your very being.
Amen.
But you got to start saying it. And those things that you grew up saying, you're going to have to start putting a guard at your mouth. And you may say, oh my goodness, I talk that way all day long. First of all, I'm not your Holy Ghost policeman. I'm just saying, if you want blessing in your life, or if you just want to have the same life that you've had for the last several years, and you've desired changes, but it just ain't happening. I'm not saying come to the church and learn how to talk right. I'm saying let the word become part of you.
Amen.
And then the manifestation of the blessings of God will start come into your day, into your home, into your life. And those things that you used to say and the blind spots that you used to have, it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe, you know, I used to talk that way. It's like, you go, when I was younger, we went to the store, oh, we can't afford that. I don't let my mouth talk that way anymore. I don't believe that way anymore. Don't believe that way anymore. I love what Pastor Nancy mentioned this last night. I was listening to the broadcast as I was driving back. I got back kind of late. What's the minister's name in Africa? Ida Hoso? Iyedapo. Iyedapo? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Something like that. And he's a pastor in Africa, and he has a very lucrative church, very prospered church, very blessed church, you understand? And wonderful pastor, and there are different, you know, ministers that pastor knows that have ministered for him. But they made a statement about him that he's worth $450 million. Was it 150? Or for $150 million. And he... there was a newsman that asked him if that was true or not. And he said, that insults me. Because I'm a child of God. And all the riches of heaven are at my exposure. Now, those weren't the exact words, you understand? But that's what he was basically saying. I'm a child of God. And all the riches are at my exposure. It insults me to say that I only have $150 million. See, that type of thinking didn't come overnight, and then he just decided, well, I'm just going to start saying that. I believe that. No. That came from years of talking, acting, doing. See, that's why we started out the service with giving you an understanding of why we don't just have Giving Tuesday. You know, like Giving Tuesday is like Taco Tuesday. You understand? Taka 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 Tuesday. Giving Tuesday. We are to give all week long.
Amen.
And see, he didn't just start there.
Right.
It was a process.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I could ever do that. Well, with that, speaking that way, you won't ever get there. So, you know. 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians. We're almost done here. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And really, we would need to go to Romans 4:13. So let's do that. Romans 4:13. Excuse, they have not called me and given me my new iPad yet. So praise the Lord. This one takes off. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being quick. I appreciate that. All right. So we know, we've talked about Abraham being the father of our faith. Now, God started out in Genesis 1, was it verse 2 there? God said, let there be light. Yes. You see, we follow his example. We talked about that when I was ministering on the life of God a couple weeks ago. Our example is God said, and it came to pass. Yeah. See, God believes everything he says. Yeah. And he's teaching us, follow my example. Jesus said, only believe. All things are possible to those who believe. And he spoke it out. And remember the centurion and his servant? And he said, Lord, only speak the word. See, I'm a man of authority, and I tell men to come and go as they please. And if I say to one, go and do this, he does it. And Jesus is like, oh my goodness, I haven't seen so great faith in this. It was at all Jerusalem or something like that. Anyway, so he's our example. Jesus is our example. Abraham is the father of our faith. What does that mean? We're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to learn from him. We've got God's DNA. And therefore Abraham and Jesus, you know, of course Jesus is God. But we have their same DNA. We have the life of God inside of us. How much more as Christians should we be speaking the word? Even Abraham didn't have the divine life in him because Adam had lost that. You understand? But he was still, God changed his name from Abraham, or from Abram to Abraham. From Abram, who is a father, to Abraham, who's a father of many nations. And has he said every day, I'm Abraham, he's saying, I'm a father of many nations. How many things in our life do we need to start changing what we say because we don't like the results? So when we get up in the morning and we're not feeling so hot, or when we're dealing with symptoms and we don't want to come to church, or, you know, because we've all done that. I've been there, done that. There are times I had, you know, not had to. I get to minister. I love to minister. But there are times I just wanted to call somebody up and say, hey, Teresa, you got it? You know? Brian, you got it? You know? And Carlos, you got it? You know? Did great on Sunday. Let's go do it again. Okay? Yeah. But we don't talk that way. And I'm not saying that sometimes I may not need to stay home and rest or something like that. But I need to speak. And usually if I'm dealing with symptoms during my day, I'm speaking over and over and not necessarily out loud. Like I did it all week long because there are certain things, some sore muscles I was dealing with over the weekend. And I just all week, thank you, Lord, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm full of life. And I don't think... I mean, I did, when my mom noticed something, I'm like, well, praise the Lord, healing's working in me, you know. But I'm saying that all the time, no matter where I am. And I don't necessarily say it and advertise it in front of everybody else because they don't always understand. So anyway, just very quickly, we're going to stop with this, okay, because we're out of time here. In Romans 4, it says... Verse 16, let's look at that. Therefore, if it is of faith that it might be according to grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, if he's talking about we have the same type of faith as he does, and Abraham is an example of God's faith because he changed his name, then it's saying that we're supposed to do what verse 17 is saying. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. That means Abraham, father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. So he calls those things which do not exist. He's not calling the things that do exist as they exist. He's saying the things that don't exist. What doesn't exist in your body? What do you need? Healing, health. Well, Pastor Debbie, I thought that we got all that on Calvary. We did, but we got to draw it out. And it's in the abundance of our heart as a result of our daily speaking, and it becomes a part of us. We start believing it, and we are changed, and then more easily these things happen. Now, sure, I'm still believing God for things, but I tell you what, I wouldn't even be here on this earth if it wasn't for God's word working in my life. And I should be farther along, but I'm my only worst problem. Yeah, you understand? All been there, done that? Yeah, I'm a blessing. Thank you, Lord. I will change that. I'm a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm not my own worst problem. Stop saying that, Debbie. Okay. I'll stop. Why don't you stand up? See, Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, contrary to hope or the world's hope, which is a desire, in hope, which is the biblical hope, which is a confident expectation, he believed according to what God's word says. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise through unbelief. But what did he do? He was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God, being fully convinced. That word convinced is a faith word. It means being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was counted to him for righteousness. And if we are to get things inside of our heart that are right, according to God's word, we've got to start saying it. Now, there's natural things we need to do. You understand, if we're eating hamburger and fries and combos all day long, it's going to catch up to us. If we're not getting enough sleep, there's so many different things that the Lord will deal with each one of us individually that we need to do. There may be medical procedures that God deals with us. Go ahead and do this or that or the other. Each person has to be led by the Spirit of God. But underline, we've got to constantly speak God's word and stop the negative speaking that we've grown up with that negates and inhibits the blessing, the manifestation. If Abraham would have said, God, I'm not going to call myself Abraham. No, I'm Abram. He never, Sarah never would have had a child. She never would have been able to produce a child. We want things to produce in our life, but many times we're not willing to change what we're saying. We're not willing to change our actions, but really, if you want to change your actions, go back to what you're saying. Go back to what you're thinking about. I mean, interrupt your negative thoughts by looking at God's word, by listening to CDs. I mean, if you have to, just go find a decent show to watch. It's kind of hard to do that. But do something. Get your mind off of the things that are depressing you. And start saying, I'm free from depression. I'm free. Well, don't. Some people just deal with that, Pastor Debbie. I understand. And some people never take control of their tongue and are going to be like that the rest of their life, but we don't have to be.
Amen.
Not putting anybody down, but we don't have to live in depression, oppression, problems, sickness, disease.
That's right.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. If I were to give up and give in to that type of a life, I would expect you to go forward regardless of what I did.
Yes.
And you all make that choice yourself. It's a choice.
Amen.
I'm going to live and speak and get the blessings of God no matter what anybody else does. And I will pray for other people, but I can't do with them. I can't do it for them. And that's why we go back to when we're there on the holidays with our family. And it's the news channel. What are we doing? Is it really helping them to push our beliefs off on them? I mean, there may be things that I can't stand for if they're engaging in certain things around me that are bringing me down or compromising my Christianity, then I'm going to have to stay at a hotel, you understand? Or use some wisdom there, okay? But let's, if we can't put our mouth in the right place with family while we're watching news, then how are we going to be an example in other areas? Okay? Well, praise the Lord. Why don't you just, let's close our eyes and let's pray. Father, we thank you. We ask you to help us see any blind spots. We ask you to help us not to continue to live allowing evil to control our thoughts, our homes, our lives, but to rise up to the occasion. Do what the occasion is. Do what it requires, and that is to get in your word, to pray in the Holy Ghost, to build ourselves up in the Holy Ghost, and to speak your goodness over our lives, over our families, over our jobs, our church. Thank you, Father. We ask for your mercy. And we ask that you would help us to see the things we need to change. And we thank you for the grace to do so. Oh, we worship you, Father. Let's just lift our hands and worship. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you. Jocelyn, is she in here? Is she in youth? Somebody have a song? Why don't you come up and... Because usually one comes to me, but it didn't come to me, so somebody else has it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, I could just start stepping out, but I'm going to let you be led. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, you've got the life of God. Faith, things change. When we get the word on the inside, it changes our minds. We renew our minds. We are every day in the world, and as we speak of faith, and we act in faith, we are changed. We've got the life of God, we've got the Word of God, and I am changed. I am changed. The life of God, I've got the Word of God, I am changed day by day. I've got the life of God, I've got the Word of God, I am changed. In faith, I've got the life of God, I've got the Word of God, and I am changed as I act on my faith. I've got the life of God, I've got the Word of God, I am changed every day. I've got the life of God, and I've got the Word of God, and I am changed.
Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, and really what he's saying there is you've got all the tools inside of you to do whatever you need to do. And it's just like if we go into a house and there's different rooms of that house and there's for different purposes and there's a coffee maker in the kitchen, there's a refrigerator. We get in there, there's a bed in the bedroom. If we're tired, we can go lay down. Jesus is saying, if you abide in me, see, if we're abiding in the house with all of the tools, we're abiding in Christ because his word abides in us. We're able to use the tools of his grace, his life. We draw on those things because we're abiding in him by saying something. And it becomes a belief. See, it doesn't matter what level of degradation you think you're on. You can come out of that. But it takes time. The word will become part of you. Just start somewhere. Just start praying in your car when you wake up in the morning. If you are, or if you're having just a difficult day, turn on listen to CDs. Go to the vault is what I was trying to say. I turn on Dad Hagin, of course, Pastor Nancy. You know, I need to get back to listening to Dr. Dufresne more because I love his messages. But I listen to Charles Capps. I go in seasons there. And, of course, Dad Hagin used to say that God talked to him about Charles Capps. So I think he's in pretty good company there. So it helps my faith to listen to them because I don't want to become lax. I want things to change. So I've taken a little bit more time here. So if, you know, because you're just going to stand around and talk anyway. But if you want things to change, just start saying something and then act on it. And you're not going to feel, you know, what does saved feel like anyway? You're not going to wake up in the morning, this S is going to be on your chest and, hallelujah, going to church today. And you're coming down the aisles, you know, like this, and praise the Lord. So I'm just saying, start someplace. Start saying, he works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. There have been days I just said that over and over and over. And then I repented because I'm sorry, Lord, I got up and I didn't take time with you. And I'm, you know, but just, I'm going to do it right. Start over the next day. And if you miss it that day, you get up, say, he works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. All right. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody need ministry? you're dealing with symptoms. If you do, you can come up here and I will lay hands on you. Amen? Hallelujah. The life of God that is in me will minister to you. And there's a ministry anointing on my life to minister to those who are sick. Hallelujah. What are we dealing with here? Okay. Sometimes God will kind of have me slap that area.
Okay.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the healing power of God. Thank you for angelic ministry ministering right now. Just lift your hands. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for ministering to my leg. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And go home saying that. Amen. What are you dealing with? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We command that neck to line up with the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, your covenant of healing and wholeness is ours, and we speak it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Father, we ask for your mercy, your healing mercy, ministering. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. He loves you. He loves you. Just go your way thanking God that you're healed and whole. And don't go by what you see. Just keep taking steps of thanking God that it's... Thank you, Lord. It's all normal. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Father, for complete restoration for Johanna. Thank you, Lord. Complete restoration in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We thank you for that healing that's working in her now. Any specific areas of pain you're dealing with, or
just stiffness?
Stiffness.
Yeah,
okay.
My toes doing something weird. It's called, mm-hmm. I'm taking for the foot doctor. With that.
Thank you, Lord. Wisdom for the doctors.
Thank you, Jesus.
But for your mercy, ministering to Johanna.
Thank you, Father.
We have a healing and health covenant. Thank
yes.
you for it, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for it.
Thank you. Thank you.
What do we do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing her neck, healing her body, healing her spine. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yep. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed and whole. Speaking my faith, what are we dealing with?
We don't know. Doctors haven't been able to figure it out. Everything comes back normal.
Okay.
God knows what it is.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, well, that's not necessarily uncommon that doctors don't always know, you know. God does. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Father, give the doctors wisdom. But we thank you that your healing and health is ministering to our dear sister, taking away symptoms of sickness and disease. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Just go your way thanking God. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for healing Sam. I'm sure he's already released his faith, but we join ours with, and I minister to this cloth by the anointing. As they lay it on him, I say that the anointing goes into Sam and drives out sickness and disease. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we command this body to be to line up with the Word of God. And I minister by faith in your anointing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Seizures and migraines. I go see the neurologist.
Okay. Now, when I came up, I want to scare you. I saw myself doing something, and I'm going to do that. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Shelley, it's going to help turn these things around by the words of your mouth. It takes time to, you know, it takes time, but just start looking at what you're saying. And the thoughts are going to come to you, well, I don't feel like saying that. But you just do it anyway. And let the word become a part of you. And you're going to start seeing changes. Amen? What are we dealing with?
I have some scar tissue from when I broke my shoulder.
That's easy for God. Thank you, Lord. Healing and wholeness. In Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it. He's taking care of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What are we dealing with? Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Healed and whole in the name of Jesus. Healed and whole in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your eyes? Thank you, Father, for complete restoration. Complete. 100% plus. In Jesus' name. Not the same as before, but changed. Thank you, Lord, for the good things in Matt and Leanne and their family. And we draw on that good treasure. In Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it. Healed and whole. Thank you. What are you dealing with, Brendan?
Pain in my left shoulder since I started lifting.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, lift up your hands and thank God that He's working. I said He's working. What are we dealing with?
It's my shoulder, my left shoulder, back in the left.
Yeah, in Jesus' name. A lot of shoulder blades. Jesus' name, call you healed and whole.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's been angelic ministry working on these bones tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How do you know that? Well, because they're assigned to our ministry.
Yeah.
And by the witness of the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Do you need something else?
Yes.
In Jesus' name, we command that retina to be made whole and healed in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. What are we dealing with?
Just stiffness in my hands.
Jesus' name. Father, we command that to go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's been an unusual amount of like joint and stiffness and stuff, and I'm not, I'll just say this. I think there's more going on than what we know, but we've got a healing covenant. I said, we have a healing covenant, and it's working in us. So every day you speak over that. And, you know, do any natural thing God tells you to do, but you speak over that because we have a healing covenant. Amen? Amen. I'm not, you know, you can say I'm a conspiracy theorist. I don't really care. I really don't. I'm just saying that not everybody just gets that all. You know what I mean? I've been hearing that a lot this last week or so or whatever. But praise the Lord. That's okay. We're healed and whole. We're healed and whole. Amen. Something's going on, something being sprayed in the atmosphere, whatever. We're healed. We're whole. Amen. It all comes from the pit of hell anyway. You know, sometimes, you know, and I'd even heard, you can say this is conspiracy theory. Like I said, I don't really care. I've even heard that they've been spraying good things like hydrochloric and stuff like that. But did you know that that kind of stuff can actually interact with people and even cause some joint pain and issues and stuff like that? I'm just saying. Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you don't know that. But I'm just saying that there's things that, you know, we just got to thank God for our bodies, that we have a healing and wholeness, and it's working in us. Amen.